you can be interesting to watch, you can entertain regardless of the content, you're going to have a big leg up and you're going to have people signing up with your tribe and following you. And it's been a big part of my success with the vocal training. Some of the reviews that I love the most, it's not necessarily the ones, oh, I've learned so much, thank you so much. Those are, I love them all. The ones that sort of make me stop and feel proud is every once in a while, someone will say, I've learned a lot, I've gotten a lot out of this. But the other thing about working with Robert in his vocal training course is he's funny. And I'm not trying to brag, I'm just saying that I'm conscientious of that.
Hey, welcome to the Video Entrepreneur Podcast. Glad to have you back here with us. This podcast is brought to you by Uscreen. My name is Rob Balasavis. I'm the head of partnerships here at Uscreen. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're enjoying the episode so far. We've had a ton of fun having these conversations and meeting all of these amazing creators and just getting all of this information from them so that we can share it here with you. All right, you're in for another treat here. This is, again, a podcast all about building your revenue streams with your video content. So I want to invite you, just grab a coffee, a tea, your favorite drink, sit back and enjoy this episode, all right? In this episode today, we have Robert Lunte joining me to talk about the state of the e-learning industry, as well as how you can create your own online courses and offerings for your business. Robert is a renowned international educator with 20 plus years of experience in this industry. He has nearly 20 courses in his portfolio and it's growing all the time. He's got new courses all the time. His courses have helped advance the learning of over 100,000 students in 179 countries all around the world. Now, before we chat with Robert, I want to make sure that I invite you to subscribe to our podcast on YouTube or on your favorite podcasting app so that you don't miss any of our weekly new episodes, all right? We've got new episodes every single week, all right? We want to make sure we deliver consistently to you. And so if you've found value in any of our content here, any of the episodes, please take a moment, leave us a review on your favorite podcasting app or leave us a comment down below if you're watching this on YouTube. We want to learn more about you and how we can serve you better, what kind of content, what kind of interviews, what kind of topics you would like to learn about. Specifically, what kind of revenue streams would you like to learn more about as a content creator? That will really help us get this podcast out to as many creators as possible. And so with that, I'm excited for you to all meet Robert. So let's go. Robert, welcome to the podcast. Really excited to have you here. I know that, I mean, we've been, you know, sort of talking back and forth since I joined Uscreen, and man, you are doing some amazing things in the space, definitely knowledgeable and have experience here. So glad to have you here. Before we dive into our conversation, for the folks here that are listening, watching us, please share an introduction. Just tell us a little bit about you and what you do and a little bit about Course Creek and kind of how you got here with your journey.
Sure. So I'm the CEO and on-camera coach for a agency called Course Creek, and what we are is a team of specialists. It consists of instructional designers, marketing folks, and implementation people that would build on a platform such as Uscreen. What we do essentially is help coaches, authors, companies, and anybody with a really great idea monetize their expertise, okay, in a self-paced and blended learning format. So that they can achieve scalability, leads, instant authority in the space and that sort of thing. I got here by spending about 20 to 25 years in another business, in another life, in another business. I am the founder of a vocal training school called the Vocalist Studio. It is the world's most comprehensive and really leading online course marketplace. That's my YouTube channel right there, but for singers.
Yeah.
Singers and voice coaches that want to learn how to build their motor skills and their strength for singing. 9 courses in 6 languages and a best-selling book, yada, yada. Nice. It's a lot of fun. It's still running today. But that's where I kind of cut my teeth on-camera coaching, making courses, helping people get in front of a camera and monetize their expertise. So that's how I grew up. I grew up and went to Course Creek.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. So basically, you've done this for yourself. You've had the success. You've gone through and learned the things that you shouldn't do. You know, through your business here, your previous business. Actually, it's not your previous business. The business still exists and runs, sort of on its own for the most part. Today, as you are also running Course Creek. So, you know, it's the beauty of digital products, right?
Right. Yeah, it's a beautiful example of automation and funnels and engines running 24/7. And yeah, you know, it's cool to have both be the creator and the consultant because they cross promote each other. Clients tend to like that. They tend to appreciate knowing that the person that's going to help them make a course has actually done it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's I have a huge respect. I mean, there's so many, you know, experts in the space, but I have a lot of, you know, special respect for those that are teaching it that have also done it and are currently doing it, you know, so practitioners, but also, you know, teaching, you know, not just sort of like teaching from hypotheticals and theory, but you're teaching because you're doing it and you're in the, you know, you're in the trenches with your students, so to say, you know, in this marketplace. So yeah, that's very good.
And it's same with the vocal training too. It's always been, it's how I'm wired. I want to lead by example. If I'm not leading by example,
absolutely,
it feels weird to me. So I want to know that I'm doing it.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, you know, when I got into this space, I did feel weird doing podcasts and live streams and interviews and stuff when I didn't have my own program and things. So the first thing I did was like, let's build my own program, go through building an audience, you know, start a YouTube channel, grow that. And it's definitely helped tremendously. So yeah, I love just that fact that you're a practitioner and rather than just like, hey, let me teach you some things that I've heard about, you know, so it's great.
Yeah. Well, here's some great marketing ideas, and they may be great marketing ideas. Here's a bucket. Here's a program. Here's a workbook or great ideas. But then at the end of the day, like, who's going to help me implement this? And then it gets suspiciously quiet. So, you know, I mean, pivoting back to Course Creek, where we do a lot of the heavy lifting, we're actually helping people build the website and the funnels and get the traffic going and, you know, painstakingly coaching people on how to get in front of the camera and do it right. It's hard work, but someone has to do it to help these people. And we're
That's great. Real quick, I did notice that Jeff Cobb, who's also a previous guest here on the podcast, is a good friend of yours. And so Jeff, if you're listening, hello. And that's great that you guys, you know, he's an advisor for Course Creek, correct? Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. He's an advisor for Course Creek and a partner and sometimes mentor and a friend of mine. We've known each other for about 15 years.
Yeah, I do. I've seen that before. So that's fantastic. Awesome. Okay. Well, let's dive in. You know, you are very knowledgeable, obviously, with just your experience and the agency that you're running at the moment. You know, so I'm curious, you know, with everything that's happening, everything going digital, more and more people consuming video content, you know, pandemic, all of the things that we see, you know, in our life today as of 2022. You know, what have you seen in the past few years that's, you know, sort of like this acceleration of e-learning in this whole industry? You know, what are some things that you've observed and, you know, sort of, you know, I guess triggered or like sort of like, you know, started to give you some ideas to make pivots and things like that? What have you observed about the e-learning industry in the last few years?
Yeah, great question. Well, we launched literally about 3 months before the pandemic hit. So the timing was pretty darn good. At that time, it's still been very busy, but at the time we did have an explosion, and it's just an explosion of people that have the same pain points that they always had, even if there isn't a pandemic. And that's primarily, I think it can boil down to a couple things. One, people, coaches, and I was one of them as a voice coach for many years, selling my time with one-on-one lessons. Coaches get tired of selling their time, of only selling their time. Selling your time can sit on the value ladder, and it should, maybe it should. And if it does, it should be at the right price, if you know what I'm saying. But if all you're doing is selling your time, you're doomed. You're going to get tired and burned out. So that was big. Also, people are looking for, it's a great lead magnet. It's a great way to get people, you know, get their eyes on you and get some leads to, again, get up the value ladder for consulting and other services and what have you. Now, into this 2 years, what we've seen is a couple things. Number one, from my perspective, we're seeing a push towards more and more blended learning experiences. So we're working on blended learning, which is you have your self-paced video content that runs 24/7. It's asynchronous. Plus, let's stop and have a group call or group Q&A call with the coach. So bringing that time in again, but doing it in a scalable way, because you know it's one to many, and it's probably a healthy fee that makes sense for coaches. So that's growing more and more. And then the other thing you and I were talking about before we took off, which is in the instructional design or the content creation stage, there is a need and a big pain point on getting your content done, getting it created, and what that content will look like. It could be talking head content like what I'm doing right now, but we found that to be really surprising to me, because I've been doing it for 25 years. I didn't think it would be a deal, but we found that to be, it's challenging for some people. About half the people can get in front of a camera and ham it up and knock it out. The other half just struggle with it. So we've had to look at different ways to get those ideas into content, be it authoring tools like Articulate, or we've been experimenting with really cool lifelike talking avatars. You feed the script in and it looks really realistic. That's got a lot of potential. Voiceover on slides. So a lesson for me in the last couple of years is trying to find new creative ways to help the creator get their content done if they just can't get talking.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there, actually. This is great. I love it. I love this. I'd like to first go a little bit deeper and get your thoughts on the blended learning experience. I get that as well. I see that a lot, especially here at Uscreen. There's a lot of on-demand content, but also the successful creators that are building memberships and things, and they're doing also that like live interaction. And I'm curious, I mean, I think about it a lot, you know, like, why is that needed? Like, you know, if you're getting your information from the on-demand, the live, you know, Q&As and the live sessions are almost pretty much the same content, but it's just delivered live and there's that interaction. And I guess maybe that's what makes it, you know, impactful and effective. But I'd love to get your thoughts. Like, why are both that combination of live and on-demand sort of the winning combination, you know?
Yeah, there's two reasons for that. And I'll preface by saying my vocal training courses were always designed to be able to take care of anybody that couldn't get a private lesson with me. So it was for the poor kid that lives in a forest in Sweden. He can get a go if he could stay with it. But back to your question, there's two reasons for that. One, people want the ability to raise their hand in class and ask a question and get clarification. Two, it's accountability thing. If you're if you paid to show up to class and you're gonna be there once a week for an hour with Coach Robert, and you spent $2,500 for 5 weeks of this or whatever, you're gonna show up. And there's also peer interaction as well that people are really into. The whole community thing is rich and popular. So people want to raise their hand, and it holds them accountable to showing up and getting the stuff done.
I love that. I love that. That's essentially just the experience that you would have in an in-person. Now it's just sort of translating online, and that's coming out in ways. And I like what you said about, like, now you guys are having to think about the creative ways that people can create content. Do you find that that's important now more than ever, as more and more creators are being, you know, going online? It's not entertainment. Like, a lot of people are coining that term edutainment, right? Is that important? I mean, you're a singer, you know, you're a performer. So do you find that, you know, that's something that a lot of creators need to kind of focus on, rather than just like, hey, here's content and I'll read a script, but like, I noticed that when I'm interviewing you, and when I'm talking to you on calls, on video calls, you're lively, right? You're using your hand gestures. You're not just a talking head. So how important do you think that that is to, you know, creating educational content, that that entertainment value, that engagement factor?
Yeah, I love that question. I think it's really important. I can't say that it's a deal killer or a deal or a project stopper if you're not, you know, Charlie Chaplin. But I'm not going to lie to you. If you can be interesting to watch and you can entertain regardless of the content, you're going to have a big leg up and you're going to have people signing up with your tribe and following you. And it's been a big part of my success with the vocal training thing. So I get all these reviews sometimes. Well, yeah. Every day I get a review. Some of the reviews that I love the most, it's not necessarily the ones, oh, I've learned so much, thank you so much. Those are, I love them all. But the ones that sort of make me stop and feel proud in a unique way is every once in a while someone will say, I've learned a lot, I've gotten a lot out of this. But the other thing about working with Robert in his vocal training course is he's funny. He's entertaining. And I'm not trying to brag. I'm just saying that I'm conscientious of that. And I'm not particularly funny right now. But if I'm doing a vocal training technique lecture to this particular crowd, there are little things that I do very consciously and purposely that make it fun and funny for people along the way. And I'm coaching that in the list of things with on-camera coaching that has to happen. It's up, you know, it's below lighting and sound and other things and getting your framing right. Somewhere on that line is be entertaining, be funny, find a joke. It's super important.
Yeah.
It's really important. I noticed that when I went to school years ago, I'm a graduate of the University of Miami. I noticed, maybe you have too, other people. The best professors and the classes that were the most interesting, where you really kind of wanted to go to be there, were the ones that were entertaining.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
And that doesn't mean juggling and a clown car or anything. Not that. It's just intriguing. It, you know, just even just body language. It can draw people in. You know.
Yeah.
Important. I love that question.
Yeah, no, I think it's important too. And I think that's why, you know, obviously you guys have had a lot of success with, you know, Course Creek, and, you know, this is part of what you teach. I think there's so much that you can, I mean, you can learn so much. There's so much content about like how to deliver and how to script and all this stuff. But like, how do you show up on camera? I think that's super important, especially nowadays where a lot of our lives are, you know, in Zoom calls and, you know, live trainings and things like that, regardless if you're creating a course. But, you know, if you're just holding a meeting with your, you know, with your team, you know, things like that, right? Happens on a daily basis.
So I'm a bit of a stickler for it. It bugs me a little bit when I'm on a Zoom call, even a business call, and it just looks like garbage behind somebody. Like, come on.
I know, right?
Like, throw on one of those screens or something, anything. Like, I'm maybe a bit persnickety about it, but I want to look like I've got a clean room and stuff. If people are peering into my office here,
I know.
So, it's important. I think it's important, and people should put more value on it. And it's not difficult to just clean up the clutter a little bit, get in a nice white corner, and it's not a difficult thing to do. Just be aware.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, that's great. That's great. Okay, I want to unpack instructional design. You mentioned that real quick in passing. This is a very important term, you guys, if you guys are listening, watching, and you're building programs online. Instructional design has been around for a while, but there's very few that understand it really well. And I know, Robert, you do. And so we're going to get to instructional design. But before we do that, I'd love for you to just share, because you do have a methodology of how you approach building courses, building programs. This is what you do with your agency, Course Creek. And so you guys will actually find this. I'll put this in the links, coursecreek.com/methodology. You can kind of see the entire, you know, all the phases. And so, Robert, why don't you take us through real quick the four phases of your methodology, but just for a quick second, and then really talk to us a little bit about What is instructional design first, and then we'll chew on that for a little bit.
Okay, so we offer a fully managed services for people, soup to nuts. You can just start in with a twinkle in your eye. So if we're going to take the guy on that only has a twinkle in his eye, we're going to take them through four phases. Phase one is a consulting phase where we're going to talk about the marketing and the technology and make a platform recommendation, such as Uscreen. Phase two is the instructional design phase. This is where the ideas are put into storyboards, curriculum, the on-camera coaching, the things we just got done talking about, which we'll loop back to. Phase three is where we build on the platform. So we take our Uscreen platform and we upload the content that was created in phase two. We build the funnels, we put on the automation, the pop-ups, the landing pages. Everything has to happen. Also includes branding and conversion copy and all that jazz. And then phase four is driving traffic. Just your good old-fashioned digital marketing services drive traffic to the engines and the landing pages that we built on the Uscreen for the content. That
very important. Very important phase, guys. Yeah. Marketing and promotion. Like, this okay. is very important.
Yeah. The marketing on day one, on our first call with clients, one of the things that I preference right up front is, look, when this thing is all said and done, 90 days from now, you're going to have to make, you know, at least a modest mm-hmm. investment in driving, unless your name is, Wilt Chamberlain, you're going to make an investment, at least something, to help get the pinwheel moving get some traffic. So anyways, let's go back to phase two, creation phase. You asked about instructional design. Instructional design is the design of the course. And in the sense, it's more than just the logical sequential lessons. That's sort of obvious. It includes that, but when you work with one of our instructional designers, they're going to work with you on things like that you haven't thought about, like, well, what is the transformation that the student's going to go through when they complete this lesson or this module of 10 lessons and the entire course and content itself? And so what is their takeaway? And physically, what is their takeaway? Is it, do they take a quiz, an assessment? Do they fill out a form somewhere? Do they stop and pivot and go to a blended cohort live coaching class with you and have to pass that before they can move on? These sorts of things. And will it be a video? Will it be a PDF download? These things are all figured out inside the instructional design. Now, it also includes creating the content, which can be pretty interesting. We have on-camera coaching, which I've been talking a lot about, but we also, if that fails or doesn't work or isn't the right application, instructional designers work on Articulate 360, authoring tools. Authoring tools are toys that IDs work with that sort of add bells and whistles and pop-ups. It's sort of like a pop-up book for adults, and the lesson will be inside multiple choice and pictures and motion graphics. All kinds of cool interactive fun things happen inside these authoring tools. Articulate 360 is probably one of the most popular ones with the enterprise. Bigger accounts look for that because it looks really beautiful. It's really professional. We might take your ideas and turn it into animations. Could go as far as being a character animation. We also do specialized voiceover slides. So if you have a deck or slides, we can put cool voiceovers on it and make that interactive so it's not a boring deck. And then we've even been experimenting a little bit with talking avatars, lifelike avatars that look spooky, realistic. Feed in the script,
and they talk for you.
It's an alternative talking head. Wow. Yeah. So all of that cool technology and the storyboards and curriculum—that is the world of instructional.
I love design. That.
And everybody needs it to some degree or another. And the thing that you and I were talking about before we started is, ID tends to be sort of the dark art, in a sense. It's sort of the thing that people know the least about, understand the least about, are not aware of when they go into it the least. Everybody understands, I got to get a website, I'm going to build it. Oh, I got to, you know, have some digital marketing services one day. That's, people understand that, but ID is sort of behind the scenes, but it's arguably the most critical piece.
Yeah. It does. Oh, Wendy, I'm sorry. Yeah, it does. And if you guys are okay. If you guys are watching this, and you know, you guys have any specific questions around instructional design, be sure to reach out to Robert. We'll have all the contact info here. And really, we really want to talk more about instructional design. It's super important. Like you said, Robert, like I think a lot of people focus on the design of their website, you know, their marketing, how their YouTube videos are going to show up and everything. But the actual meat and potatoes of the content is the instructional design. This is, I think the word that you use, which I really like, is the transformation. That's what people are buying. That's what people are paying you for. They want to pay for the transformation as quickly as possible, right? They're like, all right, Robert knows his stuff. He can get me, you know, launching my course and making money. That's what people are paying you for, to go through that content. And so, instructional design, you called it the dark arts. I like that as well. But is it because you have to use, there's a variety of different types of formats so that just, I guess, plainly, like people don't get bored of watching the same thing, or they learn in different ways. Like some people need to see you talking, but then they'll also need the visual depending on what you're teaching. Some people need to see slides and like, you know, bullet points, like, How does instructional designers sort of think through that and decide which format is the one that's best used for specific content?
There's a lot of factors there in that. it would include after some interviews and some time with the client, a realization is to kind of quickly can measure up your client and get a feeling for what they're capable of and what they're not. Some people are like, boom, no problem. This person's going to be great. They're ham. They're confident. They're cocky. They can get in front of a camera, but it'll just be mostly on camera content. Mm-hmm. And this content requires a relationship with Robert,
right?
Like singing lessons. It's not something that's sort of maybe a technology explanation of AWS cloud computing, which may not require as much of a personal connection with the instructor. A course like that might be fine with voiceovers on slides or Articulate 360 and authoring tour. So the content, the topic will greatly influence the format and therefore the design of the course, and the creator's capabilities and the creator's budget.
The budget, yeah.
Some things are more like that Articulate 360 stuff, it's custom work. It's not inexpensive necessarily.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. Is it something that, you know, as a membership site owner or builder or course creator, is it something that they should revisit throughout the year or once a year, or kind of do an audit, you know, like what are some of the, you know, some of the best practices there around that?
Yeah, that's a great question. When you're a course creator, you create the content, you do your best, sort of like making an album. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm just referencing back to my musician.
That's right.
You make an album, and in that moment, it's the best creative effort. You publish it. It's great. And then what happens, just like anything, be it TV programs, movies, albums, you look back on it and you're like, you know what? I'm proud of that. That was good. But I know so much more now, and I'm so much more confident now. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to try some different things. And as a matter of fact, that point right there that I made in the video right there, that's actually not true.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was true at the time, and I'm not seeing it the right way. This has happened to me for years. So the content inside the Vocalish Studio lessons have been redone 4, 5, 6 times.
Oh, wow.
So the shorter answer is, a content creator, if you're passionate about it and you're learning, you're going to want to go back and audit it once a year, make a list of redos, and redo those particular compositions that need to be redone. Okay. You wouldn't have to redo all of them. I have compositions in my vocal training course that are literally 25 years old. Why did I keep them in there? They look really dated. It's not high definition. Why did I keep it in there? Because the kid in the video nailed it. Because there's something, and back to that entertainment piece.
Yeah.
Not only is it a good lesson, but it's sort of fun for my students to look back and see, wow, there's Robert with long hair wearing Carhartt pants in an unknown studio, black and white footage.
Wow.
And laid it down.
Yeah.
You know, and I could have just ripped all that old stuff out, but I held on to a few and left it in there. Point being that, you know, if you lay down, if you get a good take, sometimes it's timeless.
Mm.
Sometimes it's timeless. And it's, in my opinion, it's sort of cool to leave it in there. Let your learners see your evolution as a coach. Let them see how you've grown as well. And it becomes sort of a journey you take together.
I love that. Because it is important for people to see that, hey, Robert, you didn't wake up like this. You know, you didn't start this business doing what you're doing now with the employees you have and all the things that you're, you know, that are happening. You know, it's nice to see like, hey, you know, it's okay for me too to be in this position day one, because the person that I'm learning from also had a day one, you know, and that's what they look like, right? So I love that. I love that. You know, it's like your own transformation that they're seeing that allows them to be okay with where they're at today. I think that's important.
And the point that I was making, which is I left it in there because I want to make a personal connection with my students. I want them to see, yeah, look at that. I mean, that's obviously really old, but I get why he kept it in here, because it's sort of endearing and sort of charming and sort of funny. And then you scroll down and you look at one that was done last month.
Yeah.
And it's probably not for all every course. It's some sort of corporate enterprise thing that has to be really buttoned up for the employees. Probably not.
Yeah. Right.
But some content that can be, that's something to keep in mind. And it's just a good way to make a connection with your tribe.
I love it. All right. Well, I've got one more question for you. But Robert, before I ask you and we wrap up, I would love for you to share where people can find you, where people can even work with you directly, consume sure. some of your content. What's the best place to do that?
Okay. Well, to get help as a course creator, as a content creator, to help you make a course, that's going to be at CourseCreek.com. Course as in online course, creek as in a little river, CourseCreek.com. That's us. And since we did put some time into it today, if you're interested in learning how to sing, you can go to thevocaliststudio.com and learn how to sing, or just take a look at case study, one good example of how, you know, a great looking website converts and how we put it together. Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. I'll definitely have all the links in the show notes in the description. Cool. And Robert, all right, let's talk to somebody that's just starting out. You know, maybe they have an existing business, brick and mortar business. They want to go online. Maybe they're just going directly, you know, like that for, you know, day one, you know, thinking about they've got that, you know, twinkle in their eye today. What's the best way to start creating this on-demand content online, you know, just kind of take me through what that conversation you'd have with that person would look like if they just, I've got an idea, I want to go online. How do I start?
I would start by seeking out expertise and consultants, which would be our phase one, and get educated quickly on what it's really going to take. Get a reality check and get expectations up front for yourself. And understand things like there's a lot to do here. Platforms, all that jazz we just talked about with instructional design that they're likely completely clueless about. What is a marketing funnel? What is conversion copy? What the hell does lead magnet mean? All of that stuff. I mean, this is a huge endeavor that people are thinking to embark on, and it's not easy. So, And I say this from a perspective of the voice coach many years ago that struggled by trying to figure out how to do it himself. And I don't even know how I accomplished what I did, knowing what I know now that I didn't know then. That's why I struggled and was miserable in some regards for some years, because I knew I had it up here, and I knew I had it here, and I knew I had the talent, but to get it out was difficult because there's so much mystery around how do you get the content done well? How do you get the websites up and running and converting? Let alone even talking about Google paid advertising on Google, that sort of stuff, which is also really nasty and difficult and complex. So I'm meandering a little bit here, but I'm speaking from personal experience. Get in front of somebody that can talk to you about everything that's going to have to happen. Of course, Creek is a company that can do that for you, but regardless, somebody needs to sit down, let me tell you what you're in for. Now, that sounds a little scary, but the upside is if you get it done, if it's great content and you juice it and you drive traffic to it, it will transform your life. It is, as it has for me too. It does work if you do it properly.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you do need a guide, you know, like in anything in life, I think you do need a guide that's been there. And Robert, I appreciate you, you know, being part of our community and sharing your knowledge. If you guys are looking for that, you know, somebody to kind of take you through this, I know, Robert, you've got a free strategy session that you offer on your website. So I will link to that. So yes, make sure you guys connect with Robert. He knows what he's doing here, and he's worked with Uscreen clients and users as well, and does amazing jobs with them, helping them with their program. So Robert, appreciate your time, appreciate you, and thanks again. We'll talk soon. Hey, I hope you enjoyed that episode. I enjoyed having that conversation with Robert. He's a wealth of knowledge when it comes to the e-learning industry. So make sure you're subscribed to this show so you don't miss any of the new episodes and conversations, just like we had with Robert here today. And if you want to learn more about using Uscreen, maybe you want to build your own membership, you want to sell your own courses online, you want to do those things and build those digital products, or if you want to learn about our affiliate partner program, head over to uscreen.link/podcast to get more information. And with that, I'll see you in the next episode. Bye-bye.